Today's message is the good four-letter word. The good four-letter word, and we've been on a study lately, a study of faith, and the Word of God says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, to me, that says that with faith, it is possible to please God. So faith is a good thing, and God honors faith. How many here today agree? All right. Again, today's message is the good four-letter word. But let me ask you today, what miracle are you believing God for today? What miracle are you believing God for today? Maybe it's a financial breakthrough that you're expecting right now in your life. And we all need finances to operate in this life. How many agree? It's really hard to operate in life without finances, without money, right? If you just sit in a room, a cool room, air-conditioned room, you're spending money, right? To keep that room cool, it takes electricity to run that AC system, right? So we all need finances to operate in this life. And I don't know where you've been before, what messages you might have heard, but you might have heard it said or taught that from maybe some churches or some teachers that all you have to do is believe God for that financial breakthrough and he'll just drop it into your lap. Maybe some of you have heard that before. All you got to do is just sit there and meditate in faith, believing that you believe that you believe that God will provide the financial miracle for you, and God is just going to drop it into your lap. Guess what? Most likely that is not going to occur. You know, you can't just sit there all day twiddling your thumbs, believing God for that financial miracle and expecting God to just drop a lump sum of money into your lap, right? You know, and I mean, it could happen. I mean, it may happen that you get blessed with a financial windfall, but most likely it won't. It could happen that you receive an unexpected check in the mail. It could happen that some relative or somebody you haven't had contact with gives you a certain sum of money, but most likely, how many agree here today, that's not going to happen? It's not going to happen. All right. You can twiddle your thumbs all day believing God for that financial breakthrough, but it may not happen just by faith alone. Although God honors faith, God wants us to have faith in him. God wants us to know that we know that we know on the inside that he can provide for us financially. Yes, God honors that. God honors faith, right? Faith is a spiritual force. It's believing for the best expected end result. And God honors it. But at the same time, in addition to faith, what does God require? Obedience. What does he require? Obedience. The good four-letter word. W-O-R-K, exactly, action. Faith plus work equals the miracle. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 13. And this is what Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Obviously, some of them were busybodies, just sitting around being idle, not doing anything with their time. And this is what he writes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle. Idle meaning what? Doing nothing, being unproductive, and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have a right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Straight out of the Bible. You might have heard it before, but it's in Paul's epistle. If a man doesn't work, a man doesn't eat. If a man doesn't work, a man cannot have an apartment. If a man doesn't work, he may not be able to own a car. See what I'm saying? If a man doesn't work, life could be very difficult. Verse 11. We hear that some of you are idle. They're not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Now, James writes in James 2:26 that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. You know, God is not like some divine Santa Claus. Some people have this image of God that he's like some divine Santa Claus. That he's just going to just throw these finances into your lap. Or you're going to come to some tree and pick money off a tree. You know, it's just not going to happen, friends. It's just not going to happen. God requires us to practice W-O-R-K. Now, let me read something from the speaker's quote book. And it says this. People develop character by earning things, not by getting them for nothing. John Luther said that. Thomas Carlyle says this, blessed is he who has found in his work, let him ask for no other blessedness. Blessed is he who has found his work, let him ask for no other blessedness. He has work, a life purpose, he has found it and will follow it. Labor is life, from the inmost heart of the worker rises his God-given force. The sacred celestial life essence breathes into him by the Almighty God. I'm going to read you one more. Lee Tourneau. R.G. Lee Tourneau was once asked, when should a child start work? He gave a startling reply. I would say about the age of 3. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not in favor of the sweatshop or child labor that deprives a youngster of education or the pleasure of carefree hours, nor do I approve of anything that breaks down his health or stunts his development. But there's one thing for sure. If one does not learn to work as a child, he will never do so much when he grows up. I probably sawed as much wood as a boy and shoveled as much sand at the foundry in my early teens as the next fellow, and it never hurt me. In fact, I don't know what it means to lose a day through sickness. I think that almost without exception, the ones who get things done are those who learn to work as children. We need to teach our youngsters the dignity of labor and the pleasure of accomplishment. They must be made to understand that only by determined effort do we create things worthwhile. Not only does work keep us from mischief, but the more we sweat and toil, the bigger kick we get out of our labors. All right, so, you know, not to say that you can't learn it if you haven't as a child, but you can learn today to do something with your life, to work, right? Faith without works is dead. God honors faith, but at the same time, with your faith, you've got to do something with that faith. You know, most likely, you're not going to be just handed money to pay a bill. But God does bless financially through a good, hard day's, weeks, and months' work. Really, no good thing comes in life without hard work. Now, how many here work occasionally or sometimes or a day a week or 2 days a week or maybe a week a month or whatever it might be? Okay. It's good to be consistent in your work. And some people think, you know what, I need $100, so I'll go out and work 2 days and earn that $100 and pay off the bill. But you know what, friends? It's got to be more than just 1 or 2 days out of 2 weeks. You've got to be consistently working at that job, day in and day out, because God is a God of order. How many agree that God is a God of order? It's in the Bible. All right, he set the planets in motion. This world operates orderly. He's a God of order, and he is a God who wants us to plan wisely for the future. And part of wise planning for the future includes your finances. You know, a lot of people do it, and you may have been there before, where you just need money for a certain thing or a certain expense. You go out and earn it, pay that expense, and then don't work anymore. But guess what? Bills will always arise in our lives. And it's good to put money aside, to be a wise steward, okay? To have maybe several months, they say 6 months, of living expenses set aside. To put aside 6 months worth of living expenses, you've got to be working. It's the good four-letter word. It's not taught much because it may offend certain people, but friends, it is the truth. It's in the Word of God, okay? So let's say you start a job. You're working for an employer. Maybe you're landscaping. Maybe you're cutting lawns. Maybe you're doing concrete work. Maybe you're working on a roof. And you're working for the employer. Friend, it's good to work, and it's good to work that day and that week, but guess what? Some people, when it gets tough, when the conditions and the elements get tough, they just quit and they stop working. So we need to work, but we need to work with what? We need to work with, exactly, it's like he's reading the message. We need to work with diligence, with consistency, with faithfulness. You know, it may be hot out there, drink enough water, it may be hot out there while you're working outside. But just because it's hot doesn't mean that you should stop and give up for the week. You got to keep on going and going faithfully. You need to tick faithfully like the second hand on a watch. Second hand on a watch, what does it do? What does it do 60 seconds a minute? 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. What does the second hand on a watch do? Consistently. Every second. It ticks every second diligently and faithfully. And we've got to have that second hand quality in our lives. I mean, you may have the watch on your hand and you may go outside and 110 degrees. And guess what? In the 110 degrees, that second hand's going to do what? It's going to keep on ticking, right? You may go out on a cold winter's day where it's 20 degrees outside with that watch, and guess what the second hand will do? It'll keep on ticking, right? Faithfully. 60 seconds a minute. You may be in a room where there's a bunch of noise, and there's a bunch of commotion going on, and people are fighting and yelling at each other, and you got that watch on your hand, and guess what the second hand is doing? It is doing what? Ticking diligently, consistently. And friends, we have got to be, let me say it again, you and I have got to be like that second hand on the watch when we go about our daily activities, when we go out and work. Keep going and go. If your boss tells you, think about this, let's say you work at a restaurant or you work at the BOK Center as a janitor, and your boss says, hey, I want you in at work at 8:30 in the morning. A diligent worker, employee, does what? Instead of showing up at 8:30, he shows up at 8:15, right? And if the boss says, well, I want you to quit today at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, a diligent, consistent, faithful employee does what? He works until 5:15. If the boss says, I want you to give me a full 8 hours today on the job site, cleaning the floors, cleaning the bathrooms, that doesn't mean 1 hour on the phone talking to somebody on your cell phone. That means a full 8 hours dedicated to that man because he's paying you for 8 hours. Not being on the phone, not sitting around, but being diligent, consistent, and faithful at your job. And diligence, consistency, and faithfulness at your work, at your job, will yield, what will it yield? Rewards. Financial promotion. You know, he might be paying you $8 or $9 an hour, but he sees that you're so diligent and faithful at what you do that you come in early and you leave late. You don't talk on your cell phone. That he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you a $2 an hour raise, and he's going to take you from 8 to 10 an hour. And you did that for another 6 months. You're faithful for another 6 months, and he raises you to 13 an hour. See, diligence and faithfulness yields rewards in our lives. But I'm here to tell you today, friend. You know what? You have got potential on the inside. There is greatness. Let me say, there is greatness locked up on the inside of you. You aren't destined to be in this place the rest of your life. This place is just a sending ground, yeah. A sending station. You are not destined. It's a great place. It's Christ-centered. I love this place. But you were not destined to be here the rest of your life. You know, receiving the free shelter and the free food, that's good. But you're destined to do something great with your life. You were destined to make an impact on other people's lives. Let me say it again. There is greatness stored up, locked up on the inside of every man sitting and listening to this today. But in order for that greatness to become manifest in your life, you have got to start doing something. You've got to start becoming active. You have got to start practicing the word we're talking about today. Work. W-O-R-K. And not just work, but work diligently and faithfully at what you do. Is that making sense? Nothing great has ever occurred in life without somebody working hard. Great inventors who invented great things worked hard. A lot of them failed many times, but they kept going at it. They were persistent. They were diligent. They saw the prize at the end of the race. And so should we. You've got to see the prize at the end of your race. Becoming financially stable. Being able to reach out to others. And guess what? When finances start coming into your life, finances coming into your life will be there to pay your bills, to help you out. But guess what? God wants to so supernaturally and abundantly bless you that not only do you have your bills paid, but guess what? You can step out beyond yourself and help somebody else pay their grocery bill for the week. You can help somebody else pay an urgent utility bill. So God wants to bless you through your hard work and faith in Him, but He also wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else in greater need than yourself. Is that making sense here today? You may be listening, it may be going in one ear, but I hope it's not going out the other. That work is really important. It really is important. Ministry, people who are ministers full time, who teach, who preach, they're pastors and evangelists. Guess what? They work hard at what they do. Traveling, preparing, studying, interacting with other people, getting up there and teaching and preaching. Any good thing in life requires work. Is that making sense here today? And maybe as a child, maybe your self-esteem was damaged. Maybe somebody talked down on you and said you'd never amount to anything. Maybe they said you were an accident going somewhere to happen. And they spoke it to you repeatedly and it crushed your self-esteem. Well, I'm here to tell you today that whoever spoke those words over your life was being inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. You're not an accident going somewhere to happen. You're not on this earth by mistake. You're not here to just exist. You're on this earth with a God-given divine end and destiny. There is potential on the inside of you. But it's going to take faith in God, knowing that you know that you know that God can provide for you financially, but it's also going to take, hitched onto that faith, work. W-O-R-K. Say it with me. Work.
Work.
The good four-letter word. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now, you may have a hard time being motivated to work and to be consistent at what you do. But when it becomes tough, look at the reward at the end of your day's labor. That reward may be $50, it may be $60, whatever it might be. It may be a bill paid. It may be more than enough for you to actually bless somebody else. But look at the reward, the prize at the end of your toil and your labors. And that will give you motivation to keep toiling, even when it's really hot outside. Even when people are not cooperating with you. Is that making sense? Now, a lot of you may have heard of this before, and I know some of you have, but the wealthiest place in the world is where? If you know it, don't say it. The wealthiest place in the world is where? Is the... I know you know it. Anybody else know where the wealthiest place in the world is? He says, anybody else have an idea? Where the wealthiest place in the world is? He says, heaven,
the wealthiest
location in this world is where?
I don't know, it's in me.
You said, it's in you?
I don't know, it's in me.
This brother says, it's in your mind. Anybody else? Anybody else? The wealthiest place in the world. Think about that. Where is the wealthiest place in this world? What's that? He says, with God. Okay, anybody else? The graveyard. You're thinking, Jonathan, the graveyard is the wealthiest place in the world? No, not because of the beautiful stone, beautiful tombstones or, you know, the property values or anything like that. No, that's not why it's the wealthiest place in the world. The graveyard is the wealthiest place in the world because there is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People that should have earned finances to extend or advance the kingdom of God. People that should have been doctors and nurses and lawyers, that should have started Christian universities and other places, people that should have written books for God's kingdom that never did any of those things. People that should have started Christian companies to help advance the gospel never did it. There is a potential, there is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. And a lot of those people never achieved their potential that are now in the graveyard. Why? What could one of the reasons be that they never achieved their potential?
Procrastination.
And procrastination, that's good. Anybody else? That's what we're talking about today. Maybe their lack of willingness to work and to be diligent at their work. So they went off into eternity, never having accomplished the potential they had on the inside, because maybe they weren't willing to work, to get their hands dirty, to stay up some sleepless nights, to do what it took to untap or to tap the potential that was on the inside of them. Now, I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? How many here want to be another graveyard statistic? If you want to be, raise your hands. I don't think anybody does, right? I don't want to be one. So we've got to start doing something diligent. We've got to start taking action. We've got to stop just sitting around, being idle, being busybodies, being unproductive, and we have got to start managing our time wisely. It makes no sense. It'll do you no good to sit around and talk about the latest ideas and how the economy is about to crash and arguing with somebody here at the shelter and, you know, fighting over things that don't need to be fought over. It doesn't make any sense wasting your time doing such things. Start making your time productive. Start using your time productively. Is that making sense here today? All right? Start managing those 24 gifts God has given you in a day. 24 hours a day. Start managing your time wisely. Another reason people don't achieve what they should achieve is because they don't know how to manage their time. They just waste it away. Time just flies. Some of them just sleep it away. Now, so you got to work diligently. And there's one person that really knew about working diligently, and that was who? The very guy that wrote this to the Thessalonians. It was Paul the Apostle. In 2 Corinthians 11, he writes this, to close it off here today. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 21 through 29. All right, he says this: "To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands." If there was anybody who was diligent and didn't quit, it was whom? It was Paul the Apostle. Why? He knew what his calling was in life. His calling was to do what? To preach the gospel to the whom?
Gentiles.
To the Gentiles. And to establish churches amongst the Gentiles. So he knew his life's work. To preach the gospel to the Gentiles and to establish churches amongst the Gentiles. And in pursuing that life's work, that calling that God had given him, he tells us what he went through. He was shipwrecked. You know, he was exposed to death repeatedly. He received lashes. You know, he was constantly on the move, in danger from his own countrymen, from the Gentiles in the sea. He labored and toiled and often went without sleep. He knew hunger and thirst. He was cold and naked. And he had constant pressure concerning his churches. If there's any man that could have quit in the midst of pursuing his life's work, it was who? It was Paul the Apostle. But he didn't quit. Why? Because he saw the what at the end of the race? He saw the prize, the reward at the end of the race. What reward was that? What prize was that? Salvation of the Gentiles. The establishment of churches amongst Gentile communities. Is that making sense here today? Is that good news? And friend, you can accomplish what God has called you to do. It's going to take faith in God, knowing that you know that you know that God can do it for you. But just sitting around all day on your chair, on your bed, is not going to bring those financial miracles into your life. Any good thing is going to come with work. Finances, the fulfilling of your life's call, whatever it might be, it's going to come with work. It's even in the physical healing realm. You can believe that God can heal you of the diabetes that you might experience. You can know that you know that you know deep down on the inside that God can supernaturally heal you, and He can. He really can. We see it in the Scripture. But at the same time, God is looking up for us to do something in the natural with that faith. He's looking for us to work at receiving our physical healing. How do you work at receiving your physical healing? Diet. If you've got diabetes, man, stay off the chocolate. The excessive amounts of chocolate. Stay off the apple pies, right? You know, if you got high blood pressure, take it easy with the bacon, right? And the saturated fat foods. What other kind of work could we do to receive our physical healing? We can exercise on a more consistent basis, whether it be run several times a week or walk briskly 4 or 5 times a week. We've got to do something in the natural to receive that miracle. It works more than just in the realm of finances. It works in every area of life. Is that good news?